They're getting the job done. They're ministering to the Lord. But we live in America. We are not going to put up with chickens pecking at the pastor's feet. That's just the culture we live in. We want better things. We want pews more comfortable. We want the air conditioning. We want the heat. We don't want to sit elbow elbow. We want room. I want my children to be in a nursery that's padded with every kind of toy that they could ever want to have. But unfortunately, that's not a reality. And so we serve as best we can with what the Lord has given us. Pastor mentioned it again Sunday, that widow, the Lord standing there watching them put the offerings and the temple offering, and he points, talks to, hey, guys, disciples, look at this. Yeah, but she only gave two mites. It's the big deal. It's everything she has. Everything she has. So Tuesday, it was confirmed that I was going to speak this evening. Now what? Well, I give those of you who ever have to teach or call on instantly to bear witness, to speak, I found it always pertinent to preach or teach on what I've been thinking. Something that's been on my mind. And lately, faith has been on my mind. Faith. In our culture, I don't quite know how to put it, among so-called Christianity, faith is not much more than a rabbit's foot. Faith is a way to get God to give me what I want. And in many cases, it's not even God. You just believe in the comma. Believe in the alignment of the stars. If you believe hard enough, you'll hit the home run at this next game. If you just believe hard enough, have the faith. It's common for people to say at the end of something, and I don't mean us, I mean just out there, hey, keep the faith, brother. Well, that means ride your motorcycle a little faster next time. Keep the faith. What in the world do we mean faith? I had a couple thoughts about titling this message, and the silly one was Life After Death. That's not really silly. But what I really mean to say is faith after salvation. Get that. Faith after salvation. We are very fortunate to have the church and the teaching that's been going on here for years. And so I don't speak to what I consider to be an unknowledgeable audience. But do you realize that in most of Christendom, when you talk about faith, oh, I'm saved. You a believer? Yeah, I trusted Christ. You can't get by salvation when you say the word faith. That's all we know is salvation. Faith, believe in God and you'll be saved. I'm trusting God to take away my sin. That is the depth of this understanding of faith. And yet Jesus said, now wait a minute. You guys, if you had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be moved. Oh, that's got to do with being saved. What in the world is he talking about? There's something to do with faith beyond salvation. Now, when you apply yourself, I'm saved today because I continue to trust in the work of Christ. What he's done for me. I'm saved, I'm believing. I'm forgiven because I'm believing what he's done for me. That's it. Why does our brother Mark go to the rest home? What's that got to do with salvation? Why in faith does he go there Sunday after Sunday and share the word with them? Because he believes the word has a place in the life of those people. That's nothing to do with his salvation. It's because he's saved. It's a result of knowing what he knows. But it's not salvation. It's faith. We're going to be, Lord willing, in the future, even now, we are making disciples. They come into the church. They come into the presence of the gospel. And the first thing that they really understand, if they need trust, if they trust God, if they put faith in the finished work of God, their sins will be forgiven. They'll have a right relationship with God and they'll go to heaven. Pretty good deal. Who wouldn't take it? Except the flesh fights against that message. But logically, I mean, that makes sense. But here's the bugaboo. There's a faith that requires us to do something. Well, wait a minute. That's getting pretty legal now. No, we're not saved by works. Didn't say anything about saved by works. We're saved by faith. But we're ordained to have works that he predestined for us to do. Listen to Christ. If you're following your Bible, you're going to be looking at your Bibles because I've got nothing for you up on the screens. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Starting in verse 10. Talking to his disciples. Do you not believe that I am in the Father? And the Father is in me. The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father, as he remains in me, does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe the works that I do. Verse 12. Truly, truly. We have to focus on that for a minute. This is an absolute. When Jesus says truly, truly, this is it. Pay attention. This is absolute fact. This is forever. This is right out of the mouth of God. Truly, truly, I say to you, the one who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Whoa. I thought faith was about believing, salvation. Here Jesus says the believer has works to do, the works that Jesus did. And then he says greater, and greater works than these he will do, because I'm gone to the Father. Verse 13. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. So, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. From the mouth of Jesus to these people who have embraced him, who have become a follower, he says, you have stuff to do and you're really going to do it well. Take this passage and say to the general crowd out there, what works did Jesus do? I ask this question to the internet. What are the great works that Jesus did? He changed water into wine. And if you ask anything in my life, I'm even going to do greater than this. I'll give you 2 gallons of this stuff. The thinking of American Christendom has absolutely no comprehension of after salvation comes work, responsibilities. Greater works. What did Jesus do? He came and brought us the revelation of God. He came and brought us reconciliation to God. He came to bring us the new life in Christ. He came to bring us the Holy Spirit. And we will do greater. We're not going to offer more than the greater. We're going to make more disciples. We're going to teach more. We're going to spread more. Remember, he's talking to the apostles. What did they do? Their ministry really was somewhat limited, except really for Paul. And look what that one man accomplished because he understood this. He was accused of turning the world upside down with this doctrine. As we disciple people, we cannot lose this fact. We have to, let's put it this way, we need to some degree, go beyond faith in salvation. He says, ask anything in my name and I'll do it. Well, love some new tires, Lord. Is Jesus about tires? House? I need a new house, Lord. Is Jesus about houses? He didn't have a house. What are the works of Jesus? The revelation of God is the works of Jesus. The teaching of his Father, that's the works of Jesus. He didn't have a place to lay his head. Judas kept the money. Jesus didn't have it. This work that we are doing is his work. It's unfortunate. We're looking at some kind of project here. And somebody can say, and I won't name names, but you just want a big church. That's all. This is just all the flesh. You want something shiny and new. That's what you want. You know, I want a place where the ladies could use a proper toilet. See, we can. James says, you have not because you ask not. And you don't get what you want because you're asking amiss, that you can consume it up on your sinful desires. No, when we ask anything in Jesus' name, we're asking according to the works that he did. Now, we're not going to heal the blind. We can pray. We can ask the Lord. The other area that you get into, faith healing. Jack, you were laying in that hospital room and that nurse said, you know, they're going to cut your leg off tomorrow. Don't you think God can heal you? Don't you have faith enough? I can't find in the Bible where he says he's going to save it. If I could find that, I'd go with it. There are a great many errors about healing in the scriptures that are taken out of context and simply said, God heals, and that's that. Well, he does heal, and he can heal. We pray that our brother, Dave and Karen, that he'd be healed. There's others. We pray God can heal them, but I have nothing in the scriptures that says he is actually going to heal everybody we ask. Well, I think they will. Well, then how come they died? Do you know anybody who hasn't died? They all die of some sickness. Very few just check out. We all get something and we all say, Lord, heal them. And guess what? They die. Go to the end of the matter and you find out that some of the things we believe just really don't hold water. But the faith that we have, what we're asking for, are what Jesus did. We all know Matthew 28:18. I'm bringing this up because this is what Jesus said. Keep in mind, this is Jesus teaching on what comes to the believer after salvation. Where does he put his faith? And Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples. Go. There's a command. Go. You. Go. And make disciples. Of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them. Now, isn't that what Jesus did? Teacher. Teacher, they called him. We are to teach them to follow all that I have commanded you. And behold, look at the promise. And I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We put our faith that, yes, Lord, this is what you want us to do. You want us to be involved in your work of making disciples. And to teach them what? To be disciples. To follow. Acts 8. You know all 1-8, but you will see power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses. Do we believe that? You see, this is faith. Faith believes in the salvation that God gave us. That's right from the mouth of God in Christ. We believe that. We now believe that we have something to do. We believe that we are to go all the world and make disciples. He gave us the Holy Spirit so that we can be his witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts of the earth. So what we do by faith has really nothing to do with physical things, structures. They're not the part of it. What the part of it is developing, as we all know, the church, the people. Teaching those who come in to the church through faith in Christ. And Acts 8:3. I found this interesting. And Saul making havoc, this is back at the great persecution, and Saul making havoc of the assembly, going into every house and hauling out men and women and giving them up to the prison. Now look what happened in verse 4. They, who's they? They, then indeed, having been scattered, went everywhere doing what? Proclaiming the good news. There are some who want to say, well, this thing to command is only to the apostles and to preachers. Well, here's a bunch of people that were just living in Jerusalem that got chased out and they went everywhere proclaiming the word. And I want to look at their attitude. Oh, I've got to do this. Nah, it was good news. Good news. I got good news for you. Pastor will be back Sunday. This is good news. This wasn't drudgery. This wasn't some negative thing that I have to do now. These are people saved by the word of God, rejoicing in their God, and they went everywhere telling everybody about this wonderful thing that was happening. Do we believe it? Faith after salvation. We are responsible to use our faith after salvation. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed, says the apostle, of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For it is written, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith, the faith of the Jews, to faith, the faith of the Gentiles, as it is written, but the righteous one shall live by faith. The righteous one is the one who saved. The righteous one is the child of God. Most of the translations say this line like this, but as I go back into much as I can find in the original language, it actually should read, the righteous one by faith lives. Do you see the difference in the emphasis? The righteous one by faith lives. As I thought this through, stay with me for a second. When I put my life first, I am adding something to my life. This is my life. The just shall live. Here I am. This is my live. And I'm adding to this faith. No. That's not right. I'm not adding faith to my life. I don't have a life. My life is hid with Christ. But if by faith, this is where I'm thinking. This is what I'm thinking about. Faith in Christ, faith in the Word of God. Out of that, I live my life. Do you see the difference? And to this generation that we live in now, it's all about me. Believe in Jesus, you'll be saved. Hey, I'm saved, you're going to heaven. What do I have to worry about? Who wouldn't take that deal? No, but these people, these righteous ones, by faith in God and the things of God, he is living his life. I looked at many passages, Galatians 3:11. Now we know that was justified by the law, no one is justified by the law before God, it is evident. For the righteous one, here Paul uses the same phrase, for the righteous one by faith lives. Three times this comes up. Hebrews, Paul uses the same thing, down in verse 33. But the righteous one will live, or by faith live. So this is important in the mind of Paul in teaching. Now, I'm not going into all the particulars. I just want to focus on this one thing. There is faith after salvation. And that faith is in what we've been instructed to do by Christ and by the apostles. In Paul's instruction to Timothy, Titus 2:11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people. There's our salvation. That's what we're trusting. That's what we believed in. There was a point in time I believed, was saved. I was born again. Now catch this. Instructing us to deny ungodliness, worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and in a godly manner in this present age. Whoa, wait a minute. I thought it was just salvation. No, the gospel is instructing us to, not more. By faith, I deny the ungodliness in me. I, by faith, live in a godly manner, which means I put off my ways and put on his ways. In this present age. And in this, I'm looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself, there's salvation, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people of his own possession. Now look at this, eager for good deeds. There's the faith and salvation. Now, are we going to continue to believe the revelation of God? We are eagerly going to continue in the good deeds that Jesus started, and we will continue. Good deeds. Yeah, these are the expressions of the love of God. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Christian love. We are eager to do this. Ephesians 4:7. Now grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. For it says, when he ascended on high, he took captivity captive, and he gave gifts to people. Verse 9. But what does he ascended mean except that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? Verse 10. And the one who descended is also the one who ascended above all the heavens to fill all things. In verse 11, which we all know, have heard many times, and he himself, Jesus, gave gifts. And to some he gave apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? And you all know. You could all repeat it. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Faith, I've been saved. Faith, he's given me something to do. Small group, So I'll chance being mean. What's your gift? Now here's where I get beat up. Do you even want one? Or are you too busy? Got no room in my life for this gift stuff. I don't have time to be ministering to people. Now that's mean. And I can't outrun you. I don't know. But we have to think and understand. Why don't I know my gift? God says He gives gifts to men. Every Christian, every believer has a gift and ability. And it's necessary for the maturing of the church. It's necessary for the maturing of the church. I found chapter 5 just really exciting when you read about, he uses the illustration of the body. I have one good leg, I have one, but I'm able to stand here and talk to you this evening. It's all I need. It's all I need. But if I don't have these parts, I can't do this. Or maybe from a wheelchair, but nevertheless. We need each part of the body functioning with its gift in order for the whole body to mature in Christ. Faith after salvation. 2 Peter. Peter starts in the first chapter, second verse. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I like this part. It's a little embarrassing. For His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. God in Christ has given us in His divine power everything granted for us pertaining to life and godliness. So why do I fail? Do we ever admit this, that we fail? Sure we fail. Why? We ignored this. We don't believe this. Part of the reason why it gets believed is because we're really not interested. It's a hard fact. Through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellency, through these He has granted to us, this is verse 4, His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world, on account of lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply, I love the reading, in your faith, remember we talked earlier, we don't live by faith we live. Look at how Paul puts it here. Applying all diligence in your faith, supply. Moral excellence, knowledge, and I'm not interested in all the things we add. I'm interested in what Paul's thinking about the adding. In faith. Now, okay, I believed in salvation. Do I believe this? Do I believe this? That God wants me to be diligent in my faith, take on moral excellence, and so on and so forth. Well, I'm not sure I can do that. Go back to verse 3. His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. We can do this. This kind of thinking kind of answers the reason why don't people grow. They've been coming to church forever. They come and they go home. Don't see them again until next week. They come and they go. Why don't people grow? It's because of a lack of understanding of this. Verse 8, here's the encouragement. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they do not make you useless nor unproductive in the true knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to that instruction. For the one who lacks these qualities, ouch, is blind, short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and his choice of you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. What a promise. And in this way, an entrance into eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. So there are encouragements by the Lord to be involved in this living faith after salvation. Now we go back to what Jesus had to say. John 14:12. Truly, truly, I say to you, the one who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I am going to the Father. And whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything, I will do it. Ask anything in my name, I will do it. I think often, well, I can only speak somewhat for personal experience, we just don't feel worthy. Jack, would you teach Wednesday night? Oh, you don't know what's been going on inside me, and it's not pretty. Not worthy. He is. And we must live that way. Though I, in a sense, can condemn myself, he has made me righteous in his eyes. I can't say that I don't love God. I can't say that I don't have Christ in me. I see it at times. Wish I saw it more. I know my desires are Christ. They're God's. They're the things the Scripture says we want and should have. Often I have to remind myself, at least if there's a willing heart, it's accepted with God. Yeah, I have a willing heart. But I'm not going to run house to house with this leg. That's somebody else's gift. Life after death, buried in baptism, raised to newness of life. Life after faith. Yes, there is something to do with our faith after believing in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. It gives us clear instruction. But often we're looking at the forest through the trees and we cannot see what's right in front of us. I thank you that your Spirit leads and directs and opens our eyes, gives us understanding and wisdom. All of us at different times, at different levels, about different things. but we praise you and glorify you. For we come together as brothers and sisters in Christ to praise you, to glorify you, and to sit at our Master's feet, Jesus, and be taught. Oh, Father, bring these back safely to us. We long to see them again. Now bless us as we go home. May we reach home safely in this weather. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you.